The necessity of God's authority over man is beyond doubt. We noticed that last Sunday. And yet many settle for or even demand man have authority over God. Instead of God's authority, we prefer man's authority. And how can we have confidence that we are trusting in God's authority and not man's to save us, when so many different religious entities that are around us look to man instead of God? How does God make his authority available to us so that we can know his will, obey his will, and live in his blessings? I want to suggest to you that there are only two available sources of authority. One is right and one is wrong. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus says, beginning in verse 23, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?' So they began to reason among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We don't know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" You see, what I learned from this is man's wisdom enslaves us. And it is empty, and it is deceptive. In Colossians 2, in verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." He's telling us to be careful that we don't follow man's teachings instead of Christ, instead of God's teachings. In verses 1 through 3 of that context of chapter 2, he says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge." God speaks to man through Jesus Christ. We noticed this last week in Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. And Christ tells us that he possesses all authority. We've noticed this in past days in the sermon, in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, where he said in verse 18 of chapter 28 that all authority was given to him in both heaven and on earth. So what I learned from that is, as he says in Matthew 7 and verse 5, I have to hear him. I have to hear God and understand and believe God. In Matthew 17 and verse 5, at the transfiguration there, we see that while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, a voice came from out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Hear him. Hear Jesus. Listen to Jesus. That rules out anything that man wants us to believe. Also, we have to hear him or be destroyed. In Peter's second sermon in Acts chapter 3, he says in verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet,'" he's speaking about Jesus, "'every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" I don't know about you, but I want to follow Jesus. And we see that in his authority, he is far above all other rule, authority, power, government, and every name calls upon him. He is the head over all things to the church, that is his body. In Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23, we read that, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21 says, he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he says in verse 22 that God put all things under the feet of Jesus. He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Colossians 1 and verse 18 tells us that in all things he has preeminence. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And we learn from Acts chapter 4 that there is salvation in no other name, because Jesus has all authority. In chapter 4 of Acts, verses 10 through 12, it says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But you see, when I consider the necessity and the standard of authority, Christ's authority is contained in his very words. Again, we've noticed in Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, that God has spoken to us through Christ. And the Lord began to speak salvation. We go on into chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews and notice verses 3 and 4. And the Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Remember, this salvation only comes through Christ. And how shall we escape so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. You can go back and scan through the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verses 63 and 68, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where he says, the truth shall make you free. John 12, verses 48 and 50. And in this context, we see the word of Jesus has the power to save, not man. Well, let me ask you this. When we're talking about the authority of Christ contained in his word, what are you going to be judged by in the last day? Are you going to be judged by how you feel, how people feel about you? Are you going to be judged by opinions? Is some pastor going to judge you, or some preacher, teacher, school, synod, council, some association or assembly, conference, creed, catechisms, manuals, disciplines, parents, family, or friends? No. No, you cannot be saved by those people. You cannot be saved thinking that they're going to be the ones that judge you. You will be judged by the very words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And you go back to chapter 5 and verse 22, and he says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Christ is the judge. And you don't obey the gospel according to some man's doctrine, that's not going to save you. You don't obey the gospel, you don't find salvation in man's doctrine, man's teaching, in some catechism or some organization. You find salvation only in the words of Christ. So, the chain of authority is from heaven to earth, from God to man. Jesus spoke the all-authoritative word of God. John 12, verses 49 and 50. And he gave that same authoritative word to his apostles. John 17, verses 6 through 19. And then the apostles were given this all-authoritative word by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them in John 14 that another comforter, that is the Spirit of truth, would come and tell them what they were to say. in verses 16 through 18, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then he teaches that we can remember all things. He taught the apostles that they could remember all things. John 14, verses 25 through 26. And he taught them that this Spirit, this Comforter, would guide them into all truth. John 16, verses 12 through 14. He told these men that the Holy Spirit would speak through them. Matthew 10, verses 19 to 20. That's the inspiration. The Holy Spirit was given to them on Pentecost in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And then we see the action, the result of that in chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4. And he confirmed, that is the Holy Spirit confirmed their words, their preaching, their writings with miracles. We see that in Hebrews 2 verses 3 and 4 and Mark 16 verse 20. So what that tells me is that we must hear the words of the apostles, because Christ gave the authority that God had given to him to the apostles. Luke 10, verse 16, Matthew 10, and verse 40. So we have to listen to their words. Well, why? Because their words are revelation. Their words are inspiration, and their words are confirmed by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. The inspired scripture contains the complete authority of Christ. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You don't need man's doctrine. All you need is the Word of God. And it is our responsibility to learn and obey that word. That's what Paul teaches in 1 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15, where we're told to study to show ourselves approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. So let me ask you this. Can we trust the inspired scriptures, the New Testament of Jesus Christ? I say yes, because it is what God has provided in order to save us as well as sustain us, 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. And the beauty of this is it's not going to change and it's not going to pass away, Matthew 24, verse 35. Man wants to change it, but it's not going to change. Man has to change to fit his life to the Word of God. God's Word accomplishes its purpose of providing God's authority to man for our salvation and approved service. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, Isaiah writes, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and bring it forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." You see, God's word is all we need. God understands that. God knows that, and he wants us to know that. We don't need any other source of authority except for God's word. If you'd like to talk to me about this lesson, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can also go to the church's website, church@eastside.com, and listen to this radio program again. Thank you very much.